Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are. It is really good to talk to you tonight. I'm the co-host of the Winfrey Monday Night Show, the BBS show, which is a simulcast between internet radio and between a conference call line where Win has individuals that call into the conference call line, and then he puts them or patches them in to BBS radio. So he's out rounding up the conference line, and he should be with us shortly. It's very exciting what's going on, because BBS radio is going to be putting up the transcripts of our talks. We do transcripts of our talks on Monday night, and Connie transcribes the Monday night call, and then I edit it, and then we send it to BBS radio to put up. They don't have any up yet, but they're going to be working on that and getting them up. We also have something called the Spirit Channel, which one can subscribe to and then can get the conference calls. And someone can go also to the Spirit Channel, thespiritchannel.net, and can get our conference calls and the transcripts of our conference calls on Monday night. When picks a topic, and he has really super interesting topics. Sometimes, since he and I were both physics majors, he asks some questions along the line of physics, and they always come up with answers which are really fascinating, even to the point of getting in a little bit into string theory and how that works. And they come from a very clear explanation of how things work. It might take a little bit of rereading to get it, but it's, to me, it seems really amazing and really clear of how things came about and how things are maintained and how come things keep going. And I think I hear them now. Do I hear Winfrey?
Yep.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Hey, tonight's a difficult night. You know that?
What's difficult about tonight?
Well, first of all, BBS changed all their phone numbers, so when I tried to call in, none of them were working. So
yes,
I had to call Seth.
Seth was telling me he wanted you to call in on 9-1 because they've changed the rest of the lines.
So he gave me the new number. And then we have our conference call on, and I started to start the recording, and it said, "We're experiencing technical difficulties right now."
Really?
Yeah. So actually, we're still recording because we get a recording from BBS. So
yeah. From the very start, BBS starts recording from the very start.
Yes, and Terry likes it when we use the BBS recording because then her introduction gets on there. Otherwise, it doesn't.
That's right, so, and Daphne's and David Wilcox's music gets on there.
Right.
At the very start.
You know what we should do? We should record a 5-minute introduction, you and I, and have Seth run that while we're waiting to get on the line. Okay? So that way we don't have to like panic at the beginning, and it's all professionally done. And everyone's listening to us now. We're hanging up all of our processes in front of the small world that's paying attention to us. And hello, everybody, and welcome to our Monday call. And we do sessions on these calls. Sessions is the right word, dialogues, conversations with beings, intelligences, energies in other dimensions that say they're at the top of the universe, at the beginning of creation. and that they can flow energy into this dimension. And we ask them questions on Monday about how things work, all kinds of things. And if you have not been on our call, you'll know the spectrum of topics on our Monday call is very wide. Everything from, what did we do last week? We talked about guilt, right? Was that last week, Terry? Guilt?
I think it was.
Yeah, we talk about individually how to get through some of the obstacles that plague humans in this realm. Let me mute everybody. Is everybody on the conference line on? Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Tucson on?
Tucson was planning on coming on.
He said he
was. If you muted everybody, then maybe Tucson muted.
I just said hello to everybody, so he's not muted, but that's okay. Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So, you know, there's really not any restriction on the kinds of questions we can ask, and it's an inside look, an inside view on ways in which the greater universe works that are not normally available to a human. And one of the most consistent points that comes through in all of this is that you who are listening, are multidimensional. You are not just a physical body. And in this realm on the earth, there's a compression, there's a contraction, so there's an illusion that you're just a body. You could maybe compare it to a guy who was in quarantine in a cell, who every day got up in his cell, and maybe he thought that's all there was. I guess he was about to have been born in the cell, which is what compares it to life on Earth. But you're born in a quarantine. You're born in a box. And the illusion is that that's all we are. And yet, there's a lot of clues, loads of clues, that if you look for the clues, you start to realize that you're far more than this box that you're in, this suit, this armor, which you call your body, which is inhabited by a spirit. And the spirit is more you, the soul spirit is more, certainly more you than the body that it's occupying. But it's hard to know that, isn't it? Your mind tries to use the senses, the eyes, the smell, the feel, and all your life you're drawing conclusions about how things work from those senses. Probably not everyone on this line, because those people that are attracted to be on these calls have usually made quite a bit of self-awareness of this idea that they're more than a body long before you discovered us. But there is a bigger picture, and we are communicating with guys that know the bigger picture. And I don't tell you to believe them. I say, follow it, pay attention, and see if it resonates. What does it mean to resonate? Here, there has to be some kind of indication that is real that you can practically apply to your life. There has to be, you know what, an aha experience where somebody explains something and you didn't quite know it, but you almost knew it. And when you heard them explain it, something inside of you goes, aha, that's it. And you kind of know, you already knew it, but you didn't know it in your mind. You knew it intuitively. So when you hear it, it clicks in. So when you hear these dialogues, these conversations, oftentimes people have aha experiences. It makes sense. It fits missing pieces of the picture, the puzzle, together. And so it helps you open your matrix. And we have a really interesting topic tonight. And we started this topic. Sometimes we have a topic, it's a thread, we pick it up again. And you could almost take some of these topics and do them for 6 months because they're so profound. And it's so unusual to have a source intelligence that actually can tell us how it works. So I said that this was going to be a topic of high relevance to everyone because everyone's going to die. And in this realm, dying is usually looked upon as something to be afraid of. And although they tell us it's just a transition, it's going from one place to another, and that many of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, carry a thread of awareness that goes all the way through from the time we die to the time we're somewhere else, and how the levels work and where you go through and how the choices you make and can you make decisions when you die on the other side? We're going to explore those things tonight with our sources. And are you ready, Terry? Now, Terry is muted. I actually hear her talking in the other room.
I guess I'm as ready as I will ever be, but I don't want to go too long tonight, having been up all day and all night and all day.
Okay. All right. We won't go too long. And you know what? We're hitting the ground running, and it's 7:16, so, you know, we'll go for 45 minutes, okay? You know, when Terry channels, there's an activation that occurs in her head that actually, you know, it seems so natural when she's talking. In fact, to tell you the truth, when Terry first started channeling, it sounded so much like her, I said, she can't be channeling. And then I would ask questions, and I'd say, that doesn't sound like her. Where did that come from? And so it's deceptive. You know, Daphne sometimes, when she channels, it's very authoritative. And it's how can I say it? It immediately sounds like somewhere else. And Terry, it sounds like Terry, except this information that Terry couldn't possibly come through. And when she, what were you going to say, Terry?
I have a lot of trouble when I first started channeling because, you know, first of all, I would feel more intelligent when I was channeling. It felt really good. But then they would use words that I didn't know the meaning of, and then I'd go, Well, you know, I don't know about using that word because I don't know the meaning of it. And there's a, maybe you could learn some words. You could learn, maybe you could learn 5 words a day. Because Daphne has a bigger vocabulary than I do. And so, you know, when they present me with a concept, I have to figure out the words to go with it. And sometimes it's kind of, the explanation is kind of dumbed down because I don't know the words. And sometimes they give me words and then I go, but I don't know the meaning of that word. And if they keep insisting on saying it, then I'll say it. And it's always been really right on.
They never think you're stubborn, do they?
They might. They might think it's stubborn.
I think they like you, though.
they like it. That they can talk. You know, they can get some words in.
Yeah. You know, the voices that speak through us. You know, there's a lot of people that channel, and the stuff we're doing is different from a lot of people because the sources explain themselves in such a high way. And one of them says they created the physical universe, and the other one says they're made up of graduates of this realm. And that have graduated, in other words, gotten off the wheel of reincarnation, and they're here to help those of us that are still stuck here. So we're really quite lucky.
We're very lucky
to have this access. But you know, with this luck, there's also a responsibility, because really, when we started doing this, I didn't dream that I would be doing 3 conference calls a week. I said, I'm just going to do this once a week. And as I started to realize how it worked and how people were benefiting from the connection, and how evolution worked. In other words, it's not easy to stay tapped in to these energies. As you all know, you move in and out, in and out. And to hold the space of the connection is a gradual thing. And I don't think you can have enough impact from them. And that's why we have 3 conference calls a week. We have team shift. And people are learning. And when I say learning, it's not an intellectual learning. They're learning, I don't even know what the process is. They're learning. They're shifting. They're shifting just by exposure. And I'm shifting by exposure. And Terry is shifting by exposure. You see, we're part of you. We're learning just as well as you are. And so I'm really grateful for those of you that listen often and send emails, because, you know, if it wasn't for knowing how people were being impacted, I wouldn't be here. Why? I don't need to do this 3 times a week, but I know it's helping you, and I'm so glad, and I'm honored that I'm able to hold the energy for this, and that all of those who this is impacting is so amazing to watch. So in that note, I'm going to shut up and call in the light, and we're going to go through our questions for this evening. Terry, keep your mic close to your mouth, because that particular microphone is not as loud as the other one.
Well, I'm not using the mic right now. I'm using just the phone.
Do you have the mic there?
Yeah.
Would you rather use it? Isn't it easier? Make up your mind.
No, I don't think I'll use it because I can't find it.
Oh, well, that's a good reason not to use it. Well, you know.
There's a bunch of pieces of
this is called Channeler's Alzheimer. Alzheimer's. Where's the phone? You guys wouldn't believe how forgetful Terry can be.
I was going to stare and I rocked a chair and I got another 2-part stretch.
But I'll tell you, next week we'll do a show on Terry's forgetfulness.
Bringing your headset. All right. From the graveyard. The headset graveyard.
We go through headsets. All right. So let me know when you got that mic plugged in.
Okay.
It's plugged in?
Mic check. Is this okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's better, too. Okay?
Okay, good.
All right. Father, Mother, God.
Did I tell you I love you tonight?
Oh, you're so wonderful.
Guys,
give me confidence.
Guys, you know what?
Have a great year.
Wait a second.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Listen, I unmuted everybody because I don't want you to feel left out. Anybody else want to tell Terry that they love her?
I love you, Terry.
I love you, Terry.
Thank you.
I love you, Terry.
Thank you, Edna. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. I don't want everyone to think Heis has special privileges, even though he's a producer. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, everyone listening to the replays, everyone reading transcripts. And we take all of our negativity and let it go and release it into the highest realms of light to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the energy fields of the planets, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we wait for our sources to identify themselves.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and it is the 19th of December, 2011. And we move towards the time when your Earth will be in alignment with the center of the galaxy, which will mean that the density of energy hitting the solar system will be at a maximum. After that, it will begin to wane gradually as the planet Earth moves into a different configuration as it follows its path through the galaxy, as a solar system follows its path through the galaxy. We are honored to be with you, and we greet each and every one of you. And we feel very, we use the word again, honored by the connection that you make with us. Do you have questions?
We have a topic tonight. We started it probably when Terry's friend John passed, and we talked about what happened to John and the angel that went pulling John through the tunnel of light and the assistance that Terry gave when she was with them. And there is this great mystery about death. And I understand, I'm sure this is true, that we can't get a simple answer. And the reason is because everyone is going to follow a very unique trajectory when they die, depending on who they are, depending on their consciousness, depending on their track, depending on their awareness. And so maybe you could give us a broad spectrum look at all the different possibilities that can happen for different kinds of people when they die.
Thank you. We give you information that is always the same. We can tell you a little bit about John, which is an example of one of the trajectories one can take. John and being in Terry's field and having the telepathic guidance of Terry and the not a break in communication as when he passed away, as he was passing away in the days, in the very few days before that, he was disconnecting more and more from his body, and his body was more and more shutting down. And Terry would observe that he was listening and aware of everything that was going on around him, even though it did not appear to be that way. So that when he would get disconnected from the energy of the daughter, Jane, and Terry, he would get disconnected from that and begin to look at it as separate from the what was going on, to separate out. And Terry would bring him back into the conversation by talking to him, knowing that he was comprehending everything that the people in the room said. This continued after he left his body into a rapport, a telepathic communication, which then he was able to be directed to the tunnel of light. And Terry went into the tunnel of light after him to make sure that he got off okay to the heavenly realm. And the communication continued in the tunnel of light between the two of them. And he became, without a break, but we did the flow. He became oriented into the tunnel of light and then went into the heavenly realm. And in the heavenly realm, he was met by some of his friends. And there was two of his friends, two of his dear close friends that met him there. And he was excited to see them as they had been long-term friends. One of them particularly had been long-term friends of his and had repeatedly been in his life. As such, he went through processes of looking into the Book of Knowledge. He was able to read. He was so intrigued by that because the tunnel, because the light, the wisdom that was imparted to him, it started in the tunnel as the tunnel changed his frequency so that he was able to match the frequency of heaven and to be in the heavenly realm. That's one of the things that happens in the tunnel of light. The person is raised in frequency and is moved into a space that can connect easily with the heavenly realm. And releases connections within the earthly realm that would hold someone into the lower frequencies. So after he had read in the Book of Life, he would alternately have destimulation sessions where one is within a destimulation. You could call it a cloud, but it is a cloud of vibration that helped the individual to destimulate. Then he would alternately move to see his friends. In one of the processings that can happen there, the individual who has not the heavier frequencies or lower frequencies of the earth realm, but has the frequencies of the higher realms and the connections with the higher realms, then it is jandin, to their matrix. As they take their soul matrix with them, it is jandin to their matrix, the surroundings of the heavenly realm and helps them stabilize within that realm and orient within that realm. And as such, not having the lower frequencies that slow down one can move with a flow easier and can transform their body into the earlier version of their body and can look at themselves and others, can see them in their younger body. If the individual then comes back to visit in the earth realm and sticks around for some time, they can then again move into the framework that they were in at the time, and their body, their soul matrix, taking on the manifestation of the looks of the body, will again possibly it doesn't have to be this way, but they may fall back into the older version of their body. We hope this makes some sense. This is one version of what can happen after one dies. There are other versions of what can happen. And we take a look at another example. The man in Vermont who was the owner of the apartment house, and he was very attached and felt very successful, and he was able to feel useful and have some control over his life when he was the owner of the apartment house. But then he passed away, and when sometimes when a person passes away, they don't realize since they've still got their soul matrix and they can still operate in their surroundings and they can still have vision of what is around them and can still see and even hear. They do not realize that they have modified their version of who they are to the point that they have let go of the larger, more heavy body. And so this gentleman in Vermont, the owner of the apartment house, still considered that he owned the apartment house and would come around as a ghost and knock on people's doors. And he was very confused by it all because he couldn't make himself heard, although he would try to talk. And he could even muster up an appearance of who he had been, and people could see him manifesting. So, but he couldn't muster up physicality enough to be able to stick in it. And so he was stuck, so to say. We think of other examples where a person suddenly has crossed over, that they've lost their life suddenly, like in the castles in England where there's a girl who had been executed, and she kept reliving the free time of the execution, trying to make herself heard, trying to get through to somebody so that she didn't have to be executed, and she stayed in this state. And she had a communication that had to be heard, she felt, and she could even make her communication heard and felt by individuals who were in the castle as she would run screaming down the hall. However, it didn't resolve the situation, because the situation, she was expecting, hoping that the situation would be resolved then and there, and in her life, it had not been resolved, and she had been executed, and she kept hoping for a different outcome, hoping somebody would listen, hoping somebody would be there for her, somebody would comprehend, somebody would understand, and would give her some solace. So there she sat in this redundant cycle of frustration, trying to make herself heard. And there she sits today, weeping, or alternately running down the hall. So there are communications that are unfulfilled, that are, didn't get across, that one felt they must get across, and they keep staying there hoping forever that it will get across somehow, and then they could move on with their life if somebody could comprehend. There is some room there for somebody who could, through telepathy, to go to that area and to work with that woman. But it would take a bunch of work because she kept
keeps hoping for a different outcome than she got. And the outcome that she got, the execution, was totally unacceptable to her. The life before of being respected, of being looked up to, that was the life before that was in such contrast to being executed, that this contrast made it very hard for her to adjust. So when you have contrasting things that are sudden death, and the person was in a situation looking on in their life, and they were living their life, and then suddenly it changed, and they were unwilling to change, and so they kept on trying to make their life what it had been before, and not even realizing that it had been so sudden, they didn't even realize that he had lost the body, because they still have their psychic body, they still have their matrix, and they still have power of locomotion, and still have power of thought. And so when one gets interiorized into a situation such as that, it can hold one up for quite a long time. And trying to break through the pattern, the cycle, that they wish to have it come out the way they want it to come out, the way it had been, and they, in a sense, are caught between those two things, how it had been and how it was now, and only accepting really how it had been and not wishing whatever it is that happened and not wishing the change, not even realizing in a lot of circumstances that there has been a change. And it holds up the progress, and it sticks them in the terrible circumstance that they really don't want to be in. And if they could move through it, they could set up a whole new circumstance of life and again feel the joys that they felt before this sudden change. So those are some of the ways that an individual, after they die, can move. And in the case of John, there was a gradual transition over a period of days as he disconnected from the body. In the case of the lady in the castle, the queen or the mistress in the castle, there was a sudden change, a sudden unacceptable change. So in the case where you had a sudden death, like on a roadway, on a highway, sudden death in an automobile accident, you can get the ghost, the person still trying to continue their life from that point, hitchhiking, trying to get home. And you see, like, people will stop and pick them up, and they'll sit in the back seat, say, and then the driver turns around and they don't see them anymore. So you get these cases where they're trying very hard to continue their life. So one of the things that can happen if you have an open heart and you are able to be broad in your outlook, then you can connect with situations and you can change with the situation and adapt. Adapt is an important word because the love is there. Love is there for you. And if you focus upon the love, it will carry you through and help you change.
One question that came up for me is, when you described that woman who was executed and that was kind of stuck, is it possible for someone from the Ra group? You were talking about somebody down here could be telepathic. Like, there have been times when Terry has done a reading for somebody, and she contacted someone that was dear to the person and made a connection, and that connection helped release that person. And TerryReading.com, if anyone's interested. We don't promote those too much, but I'll just throw it in because we, for the next couple of weeks, we have some room to do some readings. But why is it possible for another entity somewhere else to help that person? For example, let's suppose that person who was executed had someone that loved her in a previous lifetime that was discarnate. Could they contact her? Could someone from the Ra group contact her and help release the situation? Or is it required for someone in this realm to contact someone in that situation?
One can always try to contact one in just sending the aura of understanding that one gets it might help calm this person down. As there's an element of them that is open to that. However, there's other elements within that being that is demanding to be heard, demanding this to not occur, which was happening before the execution. And it's an insistence upon this, on reality, that makes it hard for this person to listen, as they do not want any other outcome but to not have the execution occur.
So the Ra group is not able to manifest in a way that person can perceive them.
This person perceives mainly one thing, and that's that the outcome of that incident is totally unacceptable, completely and totally, and they have no capability to accept that. Since they are a tender being, and it is unreal that that brutality can happen. And so they keep insisting that reality not enter their life. But of course, it has entered their life already. And as we talk about it, there begins to be a little bit of a change in that person. And the person moves from hecticness and franticness to a really angry, sad grief over the reality of what happened. It is... Go ahead.
If we take the example of John. Now, John... I know John, or I knew John. I guess I still know him. I would say was a very wise being and a very old soul, and that I would have suspected that there were past epochs where he had graduated from this realm and came back. And when he came back, he lost his flight path, so to speak, and got stuck in the realm again. So even if somebody has been an angelic being and come in from higher realms, every time they take a life, it seems like there's a pretty good chance they're going to get lost down here another time. And then it takes so many lives to untangle that so they have another opportunity to move into higher realms. Am I correct? Can you explain a little bit about how that works?
When one moves in to the earth realm from the higher realms, one takes on characteristics of the veil within the body that they choose, within the framework of the consensus reality in which they live, within the framework of earth, which provides them with frequencies of the earth, which shifts them into the lower frequency, and as such, they lose touch with where they have been. Although, to stay in the lower realm, they need to, generally, to do this, the higher realm is a different frequency. So one has an opportunity for growth by coming into the third dimension and learning how to intermix his own divine self with the manifestations in the third dimension, the third density. It gives one the opportunity to learn to be themselves in spite of all of the impulses that try to convince one to be otherwise for survival purposes.
So what event is required in this person's track to let them graduate? In other words, since one has fallen back into this realm, come in and gotten lost in the density of this realm, and now they're going to go through many lifetimes in this realm, what event has to occur for them that gives them the opportunity to go back to that higher place?
They have to be willing to go back to the higher place. They have to have a spirit of adventure to move back into the higher realm, as now they are oriented to the lower realm. It is like moving, like changing towns. Although the higher realm is a part of them, that they have simply moved their focus off of, and to move back into it simply takes moving one's focus to include the higher realm.
When we do our grid healings on Sunday, we have this experience of expansion, great expansion, during certain parts of that session. When we're expanded, are we moving into the space where discarnate entities are as well, even though we can't see them?
We would not call the entities discarnate entities if they are perhaps more whole than they were in the earth realm, more mobile than they were in the earth realm, more able to travel doing different means of travel in the higher realms, more able to talk in terms of leprosy because they did not have the lower realm to bind their energy or to hold their energy from being available to them.
But can they feel our energies? Can they feel our presence in their realm, even though we can't see them?
If the individual focuses upon the third dimension, the third entity realm, they then have the ability to perceive it based upon whatever their orientation is, that what they're seeing can have be interpreted and have meaning to them.
Or if someone had someone that they were connected with in third density that passed, is that a good time to send that person loving energy or connection?
That is a very good time to send them loving energy. One also, though, should not place any hold or possession upon that connection line, because that can hold the individual into the third density realm and keep them from moving into the higher realms, because they are in a very suggestible state and somewhat suggestible. That if someone is suggesting that they do not move into a higher realm, but they stay around, then the individual so looking for guidance may take them up on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Terry did a kind of extraordinary thing with John when he passed, by because she's telepathic enough to connected with him while he was leaving. Now, someone else who doesn't have that telepathic ability of Terry wanted to help somebody when they're passing, with just being next to them and praying and holding their hand, potentially have the same kind of help that Terry gave John.
It may not be the intensity of connection, which is one of the things that made it totally, the passing totally congruent, because the there was no separation in the dying, and it was all continuous, which it is continuous anyway. However, if the person who is dying is thus stranded without knowledge of what to do, then that person, him herself, can instate a feeling of separation or abandonment, and that could hinder the person from moving into the higher realm.
When you were talking about John, you were talking about, you used the word that John could see his friends.
Yes.
Could you share what the experience of seeing is, since in this realm, the word seeing directly relates to our eyes, which are physical, and patterns of light that come into our eyes and go to our brain. How does a person see in other realms?
It is similar, although the body is thinner, the astral body is thinner, but to an individual who has translated into that realm, all of the senses are combined, are congruent. They are all simultaneously France for transmuted into the higher realm. And so the perception in the higher realm is that the individual is solid, although there is a much thinner vision of the person in that realm. But when two people are in that realm, they see each other as solid.
So basically, a person is in some kind of astral body, and the astral body holds the imprint of the former physical body. Like, at what age? The age they died, or an earlier age? How do they look?
At what age what?
Well, if they're perceiving each other, are they perceiving each other as their former body looked when they died or earlier? How does the look look?
They will perceive themselves as a person is putting that out. In other words, they will perceive what is there much as they would now perceive what is there.
So do they have a similar-looking body? Question was, do they have a similar-looking body look as to the moment they died or at some other time in their life? Or does it change?
It would be when they die, they leave their body. They look like they did at some of them look like they did at some previous time in their life, as their body at the time was much younger, and there is ability to move into that and to then talk about it.
Okay, you know what? It's 8:05. I told Terry we'd stop at 8. We've gone 5 minutes over. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we close this evening?
Our energy hearts go out to you as you are exposed to much that you can learn in moving ahead with the transcriptions, with typing the channelings. Can be a greater satisfaction than it is now.
Thank
we
you.
Are very happy to serve you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Thank everyone who's involved in the production of this. And some of you, if you're looking tonight, we have these little energy pendants that we have on the email tonight that we gave a great price to for those people that are on our mailing list. And they really work. They help keep your energy balanced. They help... A lot of people, at least, have said it helped their, you know, in this world of changing energies, it's a little bit grounding. And so you might consider getting one. And on that note, I'm not going to stop the recording because I'll do it.